Amen. So we began
earlier on with a book of Colossians. So we take this is the second session. Matthew 28.
So how we started. It said, and Jesus came and said to them, all power, the word exousia, authority is given me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore, make disciples, teach all nations, rather, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So we said,
we're going to be very fast. I now take up 2 hours. That's why it's a session.
Amen.
So, very vital. We said, an activity in discipleship is teaching. A very vital activity is teaching. So we said, a wrong teaching of scriptures will lead to wrong worship of God. A wrong teaching of scriptures will lead to wrong worship of God.
2 Timothy 3 from verse 15. Lead to wrong worship of God. 3:15. It says, and from a child, you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, Paul to Timothy is the fact that scripture is profitable for teaching. For correction, that is, for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth, which we say in our service. So we say a man will turn out badly, turning out badly can come from how we are taught and how we receive, and how we read the scriptures. Turning out badly, right, can come from how we are taught. It can come from them. Amen. People can be taught well and still turn out badly. We know that. Right? Amen. But first of all, make sure you are taught well. You cannot be taught badly and then you come out good. That doesn't work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So earlier on, which I'm thinking I should skip away from this material, this second section, is to go back to the Dutch, but we'll see it in the third session. That will be on Saturday. Hallelujah. So, which is the use of the word didactic, to read how to read scriptures from the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. So we said a good student of scripture, as good student of scripture, will ought to observe and learn how scriptures are written and read. Amen. Just like the apostles from Jesus. Just like the apostles from Jesus. They learned from Jesus how to read the scriptures. So, quickly, let's see, how did they handle the Old Testament books? They didn't treat the Old Testament book with this thing, like some people do today. Amen. No, they didn't. None of them read it as though it was done away with. No. Rather, they taught Christ and won souls from the Old Testament books. In Acts 2, 3,000 men were saved by reading the Old Testament books. 3,000 men were saved. In Acts 13, Paul stood up and he taught Christ from the Old Testament books. You read that earlier. In Romans 1:16, Paul would say, Romans 1:16. I want to be a bit fast. Romans 1:16. Amen. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and then to the Greeks.
It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is that the gospel? So where did he teach the gospel from? From the 39 books. So that's how he handled the Old Testament book. The Old Testament book. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So he called the Old Testament books where you have the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. In chapter, in Romans 1 verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophet in the scriptures. Did you see that? So, scriptures is the Old Testament books were used to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were not treated as what is going away or what has gone away. Hallelujah.
So from Acts 13, where we read in the first section, we said Paul will read the Old Testament books together with the four gospels in oral tradition. Right? Hallelujah. In oral tradition. So, you would see that the four gospels and the epistles didn't discard the Old Testament books. No.
They didn't discard the Old Testament books. Rather, they wrote it in such a way. They wrote the Old Testament books in such a way that you would read the Old Testament books with what they have, with what they are writing. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You read it all together. Who is that girl now? Pass her over to the mother.
Yeah.
And when we come to church, you can tell me, when we come to church, you guys should stop.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead. So, we say that the four gospels and the epistles didn't discard the Old Testament books. So the way they wrote in such a way that you read both their materials or what they are saying together with
the Old Testament books. In fact, when they teach like that, and when they are teaching, their audience, what they have with them as Bible, is Genesis to Malachi. Amen. So they don't have, so when they are coming to the synagogue, you are coming with Genesis to Malachi. You're not coming with any other book. So as they teach and call, because the four gospels were in oral tradition, so when they teach and they mention the four gospels in oral tradition, where you'll be opening in front of you will be Moses and the prophets. So at no point did they speak down on the tabernacle books. Jesus didn't speak down on Moses. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Rather, Jesus commended Moses. Glory to God. He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote concerning me. Very apt. You believe Moses, you will believe me, he wrote concerning me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, we said, the origin of word will come from the 39 books. The context, rather, of world origin, I said, context will come from the 39 books, and majorly from Moses, because Moses is in, with Luke 24. Look at how Jesus referred to Moses. Say, beginning at Moses, beginning. So Moses is the model. Moses is the model for writing. Beginning at Moses. Amen. Amen. Begin at Moses. So Moses is that model. So words will have their roots, right? The concept, not words now. So now we don't miss it. The concept of words will have its context in Moses. Amen. Amen. In Moses. Therefore. Words, to understand the use of words properly, I will have to go back again to read what was in the 39 books. So before we get to how they wrote and why they wrote, right? Before we get to how they wrote and why they wrote, let's see what scriptures are for again. I know we just saw it, but let's see it again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's investigate something else. 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and from a child you've known the holy scriptures, right? Which are able to make thee wise through faith. Unto salvation through faith which is Christ Jesus. Now, I told you that it's for salvation, and in salvation you have what? Conduct, right? Was that what we said? Right? Right? Now let's see something. Now,
We said, what is scriptures for? We said, what we find in scriptures, we said it's God's oracle, right? That points us to salvation, right? For salvation. And when you look at it, I mean, for salvation, and when explained in verse 16, all scripture is profitable for, by the, and viewed by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrines, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. When properly explained, it's profitable for what? Spiritual growth, right? Spiritual growth is where you now have conduct also. Hallelujah. So it becomes very funny when people will say conduct doesn't matter. I've heard people say that. Conduct doesn't matter. It's not right. Conduct is important. But not just anyhow conduct. Conduct that will flow from salvation. You see that? Amen. Conduct that will flow from salvation. So the way we teach conduct, we don't teach conduct as an aside. We teach conduct as what we have in salvation. You see that? What flows from salvation? The conduct, for example, we say, be righteous, for example. Walk righteously. We're not telling you to walk righteously because you are not, because you are alien to me. We're telling you walk righteously because you are the right, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's your nature. This, that righteousness is your nature. But we tell you forgive. We're going to see that shortly. When we say forgive someone, we're not telling you to forgive because it's outside you. We're telling you to forgive because it's your nature to forgive. You see that? So the conduct we're talking about is you are acting your nature. How are you following me? You act your nature. It's your nature to forgive. Say, I forgive but I did not forget. That's rubbish. You forgive. Not forgetting with you dealing with it. Never to allow it come. Never to allow it stand in your way. You still remember it, yes. But you will not allow it stand in your way to how you deal with the person. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. When there's someone, be truthful. Not everybody be truthful because it's your nature to be truthful. Is that you have the nature of Christ, the nature of the truth. What are you following me? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Paul, let's see how Paul then commended Timothy's understanding of scripture. He calls it sophism. He calls it wise, sophism, clever, smart. Right? So he was clever in how he, in his understanding of the essence of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, sophizo here is used for a proper understanding of the message of scriptures. It's used for the proper understanding of the message of scriptures. So there is the message of scriptures. There is the message of scriptures. Hallelujah. So, an understanding of that across 39 books. Now today, the epistles and the four gospels is called smart. It's called wisdom. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Sophism. Now, a shade of that word sophism is the word Sophia or Sophia. Now that word, you find it in 2 Peter. Now Peter is commending Paul in 2 Peter 3:15. Now it says, an account that the long suffering of our God is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Watch it. Now, he was talking now, Peter is commending Paul. You know, I've heard people recently, even a dear minister came out to say Peter was warning against Paul. No. He was commending Paul. Right? Now, look at how Paul used the same words for Timothy. He used the same word for commend his understanding of the message of scriptures. Now, which is salvation. Did you see that? Now, Peter, too, writing about the salvation of our God, is now commending Paul's understanding of the same message. And he used the same word, wisdom. Did you see that? Did you see that? If you are called Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, the account of the long-suffering of our God, salvation. Say, even as our beloved brother, Paul, according to the wisdom, that was Sophia there, wisdom given unto him as written unto you. So he's commending Peter. He's not warning against Peter. I mean, he's commending Paul, not warning against Paul. In fact, Paul himself spoke about Peter's commendation before now on his message. Did you see that? He spoke about Peter's commendation and the apostles' commendation of his message in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2 verse 6. Start Galatians 2 verse 6. It says, I'll read, it says, But of these who seem to be somewhat, wherever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing unto me. 7. But counterwise, when they saw the gospel of their circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and unto the circumcision. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So they gave them the right hand of fellowship. Now that word right hand of fellowship implies a support, and they go ahead. So they gave him a right hand of fellowship, a support, and they go ahead. Hallelujah. They gave him a go ahead. Okay. Look at verses 18. Okay. It's yes. After 3 years, after he had gone to Arabia, it is from Damascus. Now he returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But no other apostles saw I. About other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, Paul gives a very clear submission on how he submitted his message, right, of Christ to the apostles. If you read, you could read that also in Acts of Apostles chapter 9, how he went up with Barnabas to the apostles. Did you get me? He went up to the with the, look at Acts of Apostles chapter 9 quickly. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Did you see that? So it's very vital. So he went up to them. He submitted his message of Christ to them. Just very much. Hallelujah. Amen. So if Paul said it, right? If Paul said it here that he had the right hand of fellowship given to him by the apostles, right? So if Paul said it here, it also supports what Peter is saying again in 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Peter 3 verse 15 about Paul. If so, Peter isn't warning people against Paul. No, he's commending Paul. What we are following is commending Paul. Let's investigate that. Now, he used the word Sophia for Paul. From the same word Sophia. So, he speaks of Paul writing to them. And he used the word Sophia. Now, he used the word Sophia. Now remember, the subject matter or what he's talking about here is salvation. And he spoke about how Paul has written to them. Listen. So, in writing about how Paul has written to them, when he used the word Sophia, he is in commendation of Paul's astuteness to the scriptures. Is a commendation of Paul's astuteness to the scriptures. Verse 16 now says, and also in all his epistles. Now he goes to the epistles. Now listen. So I mean, as also in all his epistles. So it means that what Paul is saying, what Peter is saying concerning Paul's epistles, is that they are according to the scriptures. Isn't that? Amen. They are according to the scriptures. Watch what he's going to call Paul's epistles. Amen. As in other epistles, speaking in them, these things, some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do other scriptures. Now he calls Paul's epistles scriptures. So he weighed in Paul's epistles as scriptures. Did you see that? He weighs it in as scriptures. So that means Paul's epistles passed the test of scriptures. That's what he said. He passed the test of scriptures.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So when he says have to understand here, he's not saying Paul the epistle is have to understand. He says for the unlearned and the unstable. Did you hear that? Unlearned and the unstable. He says what they do to Paul's scripture, what they do to Paul's writing is what they do to other scriptures. Did you see that? So is it just Paul's writing that they rest with or other scriptures too? Is it just Paul's own or other scriptures too? Paul's own and other scriptures. Very right. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, something along the line to say is that Paul's epistles was weighed in as scripture. It's called scripture. So let's take a few things that we said earlier. We said salvation will produce a work. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. Will produce a work. And that's what we are accountable to. We are accountable to those works in salvation.
Hallelujah.
So we are accountable to salvation. We are accountable to those works that salvation produces. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That those works were accountable to them. Accountable to those works. So, comes the question, who is Paul? Because we are looking at Paul's letter. Who is Paul? Well, Paul is named, Paul is Saul. Paul is Saul. Saul is Jewish. Paul is Roman. You see that? He's not God changing his name. Saul is Jewish, right? Paul is Roman. So Paul is a Pharisee. Pharisee who learned from the best, Gamaliel. And he was very zealous. In Acts 22, Paul describes himself. Acts 22. Verses 3. He says, I am verily a man which I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner. Here's what he calls how he was taught. He says, according to the perfect manner of the law of the Father, and was zealous towards God as ye all are this day. Did you see that? So Paul didn't say, you guys are sinners. He said, I was as zealous as all of you. So he calls him Z. You see that? He calls him Z. And you know why this is called zeal to them? Because this is their act of worship. You see that? Or this is worship. That's how they comprehended scriptures. So he calls him Z. What about lady? Hallelujah. He calls him Z. Which was zealous. Hallelujah. In Acts 9, we see that zeal. He persecuted the church. In fact, he said this himself in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Philippians 3, 4. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh more. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrew as touching the law a Pharisee, as concerning zeal persecuting the church. This is that, so he persecuted the church.
So that persecuting the church is called zeal. This is that zeal.
Hallelujah. They call it zeal. Because like I said, your study of scriptures, right,
will come out, will turn out and off in your worship of God. Your study, how you, your understanding of scripture will come out in your worship of God. Jesus will say they will kill you, and they will say they do God service, John 16. They will say they do God a service. They are serving God. And I killed you. And those were the Pharisees. Because it was a tenant, or it was vital in their doctrine. It's in their doctrine. See you get that? Amen. Glory to God. We are following me. So, or put it this way, he was zealous, right, for the customs of the Jews. But something happened to him in Acts 9. He had an encounter. But this encounter he had would happen after he has heard the sermon of Stephen in Acts 7. You are struggling with your phone. I am talking. Amen. So he had an encounter, but before that encounter, what had happened to him? He had the message of who? Stephen. He still killed Stephen, zealous. Did you see that? He still killed Stephen, but he heard the message. Hallelujah. He heard the message. He refused to get saved, but he heard the message. Hallelujah. He heard the message. So something you will see is that on his way to Damascus, Acts 9, he had an encounter. And in that encounter, listen to the conversation in verse 5. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Watch it, because I am. So in the words of Jesus, Paul finds the I am. He finds the Dabba Yahweh. Hallelujah. He finds the Dabba Yahweh. So what Paul saw on his way to Damascus was the God of Israel. The God of Israel from the Jewish scripture as Jesus. So he saw the God of Israel as Jesus. The Dabba Yahweh has come. That's what he saw. The Dabba Yahweh has come, really. That's right. Hallelujah. And in seeing that, he saw a major fact of the scriptures. Amen. Says, I am he which you, I am Jesus whom you persecute. He was going to persecute the Christians. Right? He was going to persecute the disciples of the Lord in Damascus. And he said, I am he whom you persecute. I am Jesus whom you persecute. Hallelujah. So the moment he heard it, because he is an astute teacher, he saw that union, identification. I am he. Hallelujah. Identification. I am he. A temple fact. He will abide with them. I am he. Did you see that? He saw that on his way to Damascus. And in his writing, it will form a major part of how he lives. You will have the prepositions. Hallelujah. Who gets it? Who uses the prepositions? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in Paul's writings, which we say will be from scriptures, we've commended, we've seen Paul's commendation, right? That Peter used the word Sophia for him to show the context of where he read, or the context of his understanding in the 39 books, right? Did you see that? So the context of which you will write or teach will be in the scriptures. Right? The 39 books. So, very vital. So in his writings, in Paul's writings, right, to his audience, he will employ the use of the words. I'm going to tell you words that he will use. But something you should pay attention to is the fact that what in Paul's writing, we will explore this on Saturday much more. In Paul's writing, he would have as Paul's writing what I call interpretation and application of scriptures to his audience. He would interpret and apply the 39 books to his audience, especially the church at Colossae, solving the issues in Colossae. Amen. So it will be more of an application than an interpretation. You see that? Amen. We'll see all this as we go ahead. Hallelujah. So, in Paul's writing, he will employ use of words like Christ. In fact, he will use the word Christ more than Christ himself. Amen. Paul will use Christ more than any of the apostles. He will use words like temple, the most. He will use prepositions like him, on, among. He will use those prepositions heavily. He will use words like heavenly more. He will use spiritual more. He will use heavenly more. You should know why he will use spiritual more. Because he didn't see Jesus in the flesh. He was not around. Amen. So he will use spirit, the more. Hallelujah. He will use words like saints, the more. Will you say? He will use church. Importantly, he will use forgiveness of sin. You'll find it in his writing. So these are important words you'll find in Paul's writing. Amen. 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 Sin should come meet. You come to church. Now, and he won't use it as something that is part of the believer. He will use these words that I've mentioned, Christ, temple, prepositions, spiritual, heavenly, church, saints, forgiveness. He won't use it as what is part of the believer, but rather what is available to the believer. He will use that what is available to the believer as the believer's inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something else to see is the fact that Paul's acceptance by the apostles was first by Ananias and Barnabas. Mainly Barnabas. Barnabas influenced him. Amen. Barnabas was the one who took him in verse 27 of Acts 9 to all the apostles. Hallelujah. Amen. So also they saw his message. Hallelujah. They saw his message. That it was the same with what they preached. Like Paul said in Galatians 1. Let's get to Galatians 1. He submitted his message. Galatians 1 again. Galatians 1:17. Yeah, let's see this. See, neither went I up to Jerusalem, but to them which were apostles before me, but went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward, I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown. I was unknown by faith unto the church of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only
that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. Watch it. And they glorified God with me. When 14 years afterwards, watch this, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and or had run in vain. So he submitted. Did you see that? Can you see that? Amen. Amen. So they had the same message. Something else vital that necessitated the acceptance of Paul was his conduct and manner of life. They saw how he was persecuted like they were persecuted. Amen. He was persecuted like they were persecuted. Therefore, another question we'll ask is, haven't answered what scriptures are for, right? And why the scriptures, why scriptures are for, why scriptures are written. Therefore, we have to answer, why then were the epistles written? Why did they write letters? In Romans 1, verse 9, Romans 1, 9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you. So Paul wasn't with them, right? Paul wasn't with them, but he wrote to them. Hallelujah. So, letters were written when the apostles were not around. That's when you write letters. So when the apostles were around, they would just teach from the scriptures. You see that? They would address issues from the scriptures when they are around. But when they are not around, they would send letters. So, the letter does not, listen, does not stop the teaching from scriptures. You see that? So the letters are like addendums to what they have. Hallelujah. Amen. So they were written when they were not available. But when they are available, well, what would they teach them? The scriptures. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. They would teach from the scriptures. So the letters was not to replace the scriptures. No. No. Hallelujah. Rather, the letters were to also aid them to read the scriptures well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To help them read it. So because even the 39 books, which is what we call scriptures in their world, the 39 books were both for salvation. The 39 book was for salvation. People got saved. Right? We saw that in the first session. It was for salvation. And for spiritual growth. All scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. You get that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, to Timothy, Paul will write to him when he was not with him. You know that? When Paul wasn't with Timothy, he would write to him. But when they are together, he would teach him. You know, he in 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, the things you've learned from me among many witnesses. So he calls him again, calls his attention again to what he has learned from him. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. He tells him, reminds him of the laying on of hands by the presbytery. And who he calls presbytery is not people, he's himself. Himself. Did you see that? So when they are together, he will teach, he will lay hands. Hope you are following him. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So letters were written in their absence. Now another typical example for why letters were written will be Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Acts 15. Acts 15. Are you in Acts 15? Okay. It says verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea stopped the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. After ye be circumcised, that ye cannot be saved. Watch that. This is false teaching automatically. Amen. Amen. They were teaching another gospel. That except you do XYZ, you cannot be saved. So their basis of telling people they are saved is not salvation that is in Christ, but what works. Do you see that? I remember I told you, faith is not by works, but faith produces works. Do you see that? So here they say you must have works before you are saved.
When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, watch this. So, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, meaning they argued it out with them. So they decided, okay, let's go up again and meet the apostles. When they got to the apostles, they now found their senior brothers there.
These guys found their senior brothers. Who are their senior brothers? Men who, in fact, their faith is even stronger. Look at what they said in verse 5. They said, there were certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believe, say that it is needful to circumcise and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Did you see that? Yeah. Okay. But they should be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Can you see that? Amen. Now when you talk about the law of Moses, you have to read it in context. He's talking about customary. Right? Remember I told you when you hear law of Moses, you ask yourself, which of Moses is law? Right? Not just the law of Moses, and then no. Moses wrote the law of life, that is in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death. And then Moses is law. Jabot Moses is law. Do you understand me? So get the teaching on the book of Galatians. I guess to be a bit of some study on it. So when you see law of Moses, you ask yourself, which law of Moses? Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
I don't think you guys are going to
be able to stop. Amen. So you ask yourself, which law of Moses?
God, I put on his feet.
Better. Okay. So, now look at in verses 6. They came together to consider the matter. Now Peter stood up and spoke. After Peter was done, James stood up and gave exhortation. When James was done with the exhortation, look at what they decided to do. James was done with the exhortation. Watch it now. Amen. They decided to write to them in verse 23. So they wrote letters by them after this manner. Now,
listen, they decided, James was done giving an exhortation, right? Even if it's inconclusive, just like some elections, inconclusive. But they said, let's write. Because the people that were writing to were not there. The people that really needed it were in Antioch. Right? Right? They were in Antioch. Now, remember, those guys that stood up to say you must be circumcised were from there too. That they had the argument. Paul's guys were there, those guys too were there. So, if you send only Paul, it's one-sided. Right? So they sent Paul and some of the apostles too. Right? They then delegated two other people, Oya, Polo and Paul, Silas and I guess John or thereabouts. And they all went.
Now let's read verse 3. And they wrote letters by them. After this manner, the apostles and elders, and this is the Greek, this is the Roman style of writing, where you have salutation, or no, you give an introduction. The apostles and elders and brethren, and greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. Did you see that?
So it's a style of writing. You have, in the Roman style of writing, you have the greeting, right? The greeting, and to whom you are writing to. Right? I, Paul, no, that is your opening remark. I, Apostle Dixon, to Dr. Mustaine. Do you understand? That's contract. Dr. Mustaine. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're following me.
So to find out who they are writing to, then the body. For as much as we've heard certain things which went out from, as much as we've heard that certain which came out from us have troubled you. Now watch that word, troubled you. With words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Did you see that?
So they wrote letters to them. And they sent people to go with them. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So why did they write the letters to them? They wrote the letters to them to reaffirm their faith. To reaffirm their faith. So letters were written to reaffirm faith. Like a letter, it's called like letters were written for assurance. When you are having a reassurance, you are giving them an assurance again. So you can call it a letter of assurance. Hallelujah. Why? Because they came out from there, those who troubled them. That's what I told you to underline there, to trouble you. Mm-hmm. So that word trouble is used for to destabilize. Hallelujah. Because some people have come to destabilize their faith. So to now write to them, to reassure them, to reaffirm their faith. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Letters are written to reaffirm faith. Letters are written to answer questions. To answer questions. What questions? In 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1. I try my best not to get to Colossae. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen?
That was an instruction.
Look at verse 31 of that Acts 15. When letter was sent, watch it, and when they had read it, they rejoiced for the consolation. That word there is exaltation, consolation, exaltation. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So, letters are written to exalt, to confirm believers. Amen. To exalt or confirm believers. Letters are written to confirm believers. Then letters are written to deal with crisis, conflicts. Crisis, conflict, and misconduct. Let me leave that. Can't you miss it? It is to deal with crisis, conflict, and misconduct. You find the church at Corinth was typical for this. They had misconduct. Right? They had divisions. They had malice. They had a guy that has his mother's wife. They had divisions in terms of belief system and the like. So letters were written to deal with those things. They had a brother who took another brother to court. Letters are written for check-up. Just to check up.
Amen.
To check. It's not every time a letter is written that they are dealing with an issue. Amen? Every time letters are written to deal with issues. The letters, the church at, or the letters to the church at Ephesus, like we said, was that letter didn't deal with any issue. It didn't deal with any issue at all. Hallelujah. Because it was no issue that he was dealing with currently at that point. That letter was written. Hallelujah. And now we understand that the letter to the church at Ephesus was not a letter to Ephesus direct. It was a letter for all churches, but Ephesus collocated it. It was now Ephesus' letter. Did you hear that? Yeah. They collected it. They lampanoed it. Amen. They lampanoed the letter. It's their letter. Glory to God. But it was not a letter that is like other churches, because when you think the church of Ephesus have no problem, wait until you get to Timothy. You see the problem in Ephesus. Amen. There was problem there. But when you read the book of Ephesus, you look at it, there's no problem in this church. Perfect church. So it was right into all the churches. But the church at Ephesus now took a hold of the letter. But they're now, it's our own letter. Something like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So many times, I mean, letters are also written to what? See how they read. Letters are written to one. To one. To one. Revelations, you saw the churches. To the church in seven churches in Asia. One them.
Warning letter. You look at the office, you are giving warning letter.
The next letter that follows warning letter is going to resign. Anything you do, means that you are the break. So they are warning letters. Have they given you warning letter? Glory to God. Warning letter is not query. Query is official question that needs official response. Amen. Amen. Warning, there's no response. It's just a letter in your hand. Any second.
Bye.
Amen. 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 So letters are written to one. Letters are written to deal with false doctrines. Deal with false doctrines. Maybe growing false doctrine, like the church in Colossae. Now concerning the church at Colossae, let's get the Colossae. I was thinking I can just spend 1 hour on the doctrine. Let's get to Colossae. Now, Colossae is from the church in Colossae, not Colossae, the church in Colossae. The Colossians church is a unique church. Why is it unique? It's a unique church because unlike other of Paul's letters, or other of Paul's writing, he wrote to churches that he started himself, and churches he has been to. Right? Ephesus, he was there, has been there. The church in Rome, he has been there. The church in Philippi, he has been there, right? But the church at Colossae is a church Paul never visited. Paul never visited. Paul didn't even start the church. Amen. Paul didn't even start the church. That's unique.
Hallelujah. Paul didn't start the church.
Apparently, the church at Colossae was started by one of Paul's disciples, whom, when you read Colossians 1:7, you will hear the name Epaphras. Epaphras, a faithful minister. So, Epaphras started the church at Colossae, one of Paul's disciples. In fact, Colossae is another unique thing about Colossae is the fact that you won't find traces of Colossae or They are of the Colossian church in the book of Acts. You know, you can read, you can find out of the Galatians when you read very well. So this is when you go to Galatians based on what he said here, right? You can find the Corinthian church in Acts 17. You can find the Philippian church there, but you can't find Colossae. Amen. Amen. You can't find Colossae. And it's so because Paul wasn't there. But here's how the gospel got to Colossae. Acts of Apostles chapter 19. Acts 19. Here's how the gospel got to Colossae. Acts 19:10. Because Colossae is very close to Ephesians. And that is why the book of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon were written together. We'll get there shortly. Now, in Ephesians 19:10, it says, and it continued at the space of 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia, watch it, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. Did you see that? All which dwelt in Asia. Amen. So it was, and Colossae is in Asia. Colossae is in the Asia province of the Roman Empire, where Ephesus was. Laodicea was there too. Did you see that? Colossians was there, Laodicea was there. So you have those churches around the Asian province of the Roman Empire. So when it said spread, the word went round and all which dwelt in Asia, it included Colossae. Because Colossae too was in Asia. Amen. And Epaphras happened to be one of Paul's disciples from Ephesus. Okay, follow me. I'm going to be one of Paul's disciples. I heard the word. And he went to Colossae and he continued the work of ministry. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He took the word from Ephesus to Colossae. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's see this. When was the book written? The book was written... Okay. The book of Colossians was written when Paul was in house arrest in Asia. Although it was written, house arrest in Asia. So at that point, he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon together, delivered by one person. Yes, Tychicus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Was delivered by Tychicus. Philemon, apparently, is a minister, is an elder in the church at Colossae. Well, yeah, he's an elder because his name comes up. His name comes up in Colossae. Hallelujah. His name comes up. And at that point, Philemon had issues with Onesimus. Right? Right? Okay. So a bit of that issue, you will find also when Paul will now address master-servant relationship within Colossae. Because you have, that is something else you will find in Colossae. You will find master-servant relationship. We'll get into Colossae in the business sense very soon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Philemon apparently was a member of that church. The member of the church. Also, since those letters were written together, at the same time, delivered at the same time, right, you will find some words, some verbiage used verbatim between Ephesians and Colossians. For example, Colossians 1:14, you'll find it, it's just natural you find those words used together. So I'm writing two books at the same time, sometimes you have the same words used, right? Colossians 1:14, it says there, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you pull that side by side with Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Did you see that? So you have those words like it was copied verbatim, but not.
You got to do everything together. So it's just natural to find words used together. Look at verses 18 of Colossians. It says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things, that he might have preeminence. Look at chapter 1, verses 18, verses 22 of Ephesians. It says there, and I put out his order his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. This is that, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
You just find those similarities around what you used, as if the words were carried from here to here. No, it's just simple. It's because they were written together. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get down a bit to a geographical description of Colossae and the essence of that will be seen in Paul's writing.
Amen.
Amen.
So, like I said, Colossae
is around the Asia province or the Roman Empire then, now somewhere around Turkey. Today now, today world, somewhere around Turkey.
Amen.
It's a land that experienced earthquakes, at least three major earthquakes that also dislodged people that were there. But they experienced earthquakes geographically around that time, around AD 400. But they had one around AD 65 and AD 400. You see, why that is mentioned is because of this. It's a city that is surrounded with water. They have rivers. In fact, they have a river that is called River Meander. Meander. You know what meander means? Right? Something like corny. Meander. M-E-A-N-D-E-R, Meander, River Meander. And this also will reflect in how, and this also reflected what was going on in the church at that time. The world was meandering around the church, or in the church. The world was meandering in the church. You find it very well. In fact, it becomes, by part of the world, you see the things, you see part of the thing, one of the things would flow in this direction. Amen. Amen. We see the things in Colossae. Hallelujah. So they had a seaport. Like we have the Apapa Wharf of today. Amen. We have the the Seme border. They have like a seaport. They have a seaport. So it is a business area. Imagine that time. They have a seaport. There's nothing like airport, so everything was by sea. Nothing like car, everything was by sea. So imagine having a seaport at that time. So it was a business area. Right? So being a business area, Colossae today paints for us a modern city. Because a business area, where we have different nations at the same place. Because different people come in, just like, you know, we say Corinth was a commercial hall, right? This place is they have a seaport. So a business area will have different nations in the same place, right? You can call it, you can say Colossae was a cosmopolitan area. Where we have mixed people. People meet from different culture. It was a settlement area. Amen. Glory to God. And another place like that, we have an ancient settlement area in Nigeria, was the Badagry. Amen. And Badagry, ancient settlement area in Nigeria. So it was believed that slaves took off, they would gather, they would bring slaves from different parts of Nigeria to Badagry, and they take off from Badagry to the uttermost part of Nigeria. So that is where slaves were traded. Yeah, slaves were traded at Badagry. So you will have mixed people. meet this one. Colosse was the settlement area. We have like a major, like we have the major cities in our world, Lagos, right? Paris. We paint that picture. New York, thank you. You have those major cities in the world. Mm-hmm. Amen. Stamford Bridge, you know. Amen. You know, Chelsea is the home for us. You don't know, it's the home for us. No discrimination in Chelsea. You don't discriminate. So, let's continue. No reason blue.
Hallelujah.
So we have, you say the city. He paints a major, he paints major cities for us that we have in the world today. Glory to God. So in Colossae also, the main occupants of Colossae are the Phygians. Phygians. Those were the natives of Colossae. But because it was a cosmopolitan area, they had the Greeks, they had the Romans and the Jews settled in there. But we have more of the Gentiles, which is more of the Greeks and the Romans there than the Jews. Amen. But they were Jews there too. What are following me? In Colossians 1, for example, I wonder why I didn't write this here. But I can still get it. Colossians 1, verses 21. It says, and you, that were, what is, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he had now reconciled. So this pointed a major, something very vital, that the church in Colossae was mostly Gentile dominated. Do you get me? Was mostly Gentile dominated. Watch it. And that will bring in, that will also bring about something that we're going to see later on today. Or we're going to highlight today. Hallelujah. So because, okay, let me just get into it. Because those who settled in were from different parts of the world, they will come with different thought patterns. They will come with different ideas. No, it's like a cosmopolitan area. Like major cities. Like when you get to France now, you have different people from different places. Different belief systems. Different worldview. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's even go to a half hour. You have different people there. Lagos. Look at Lagos. Different people from different places. Glory to God. Different belief systems. On Sundays, you see people doing mundane meal. On Saturday, you see people closing the road. That they are doing, they are doing party. Or you see people beating, you just see different, how is that true? Because it's a city, people from different places have settled here, so they came with their belief system. You see that? Amen? This is what we will tie to rapper, while we are going to town meeting, in the city. I'm not going to town. Amen? Do you understand? I'm going to our village meeting, go to the village. We have it in the town. Hallelujah. So we will see they will carry some masquerade and they are walking around. Just me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, here they have different thought patterns and different belief systems, like I said. Different thought patterns, different belief systems. Hallelujah. Thought patterns, different. So, different people from different places with different thought patterns. We have those who had animism religion. That now remember we said we have now this was obtainable in Colossae and this thing began to meander into the church. Animism. Now animism is the religion or is that religion that believes in the elemental control of nature. Elemental control of nature from Wikipedia, encyclopedia, the word animism is from the Latin word anima, which is used for spirit, breath, and life. So is the belief that objects, places, and creatures all possesses a distinct spiritual element or distinct spiritual essence. So they have animism in Kodosu. They have the they have the Greco-Roman mystery religion. They have the Greco-Roman mystery religion. But that time it was called the mystery cult. Greco-Roman mystery cult. In Colossae, they also have the agnostic religion. A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C. The religion that's agnostic, I guess, they have their belief system to be, part of it is the fact that they believe that no human has the will or the comprehension to believe or to state categorically that God exists or God does not exist.
That's crazy.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's see some other things. Now, these different thought patterns all together was coming in the church, and Paul needed to write to them quickly. Hallelujah. So this letter of Paul was also addressed churches in major cities like today, where we now have different thought patterns, different belief systems creeping in among the brethren. Creeping in. You put it like this, the society is coming into the church. You see that? Different thoughts. Therefore, Paul will have to deal among believers with what is called mixture. A mix of different belief systems. And nothing is as worse as a believer who is in mixture. So Paul is going to deal with mixture. He's going to deal with mixture. Very right, I was going to deal with mixture. Now, Paul dealing with mixture. Right? Okay, Paul in dealing with mixture. You also find that in the book of Colossians, Paul would use harsh tone like he did for the church at Corinth. It won't be harsh. I'm going to see why it wasn't harsh. I'm not saying this in that. I'm going to say this. Well, it's just pastoral. It's wisdom of God. Why wasn't he hard? Like the church at Rome? I mean like the church in Rome? The Corinth church. It was because he wasn't the one that started the church. So he didn't really know them. Like that. Did you get that? The person that is his disciple is their pastor. Do you see that? Okay, believe me. So Paul will employ diplomacy. You see it in the church. Look, most of the leaders are, even the church are calling people, I just say, do you ever want to listen to to my personal decision? Because now my own person. Do you see that? My own person. I say, why is that so harsh on me? He's in love because it's you. Yes, sir. It's love because it's you. He knows that you are directly under me. You shouldn't be. Yeah, sir. Calm down now. This is not. Amen. Somebody you see now, you've seen him grow.
You see him handling of this, the person hand is behaving. What do you think he will do? He will leave the person. What's wrong with you? You know, there's a 5% by handling with his hand. Everybody, point to his heart. Say to Tychicus.
Say to Archippus. Well, he said that to tell them to say to Archippus in.
In where?
In Colossae. But you know it was to be in Corinth. He wouldn't say to Archippus.
Say to Archippus is diplomacy.
Everybody will now be asking, bro, how far now?
Why now? Your ministry, who's your ministry?
Jesus. I said to Archippus, that's diplomacy. He was to be in Corinth.
If they don't punish you, eat with him.
That's Corinth.
Did you get that? That's what he did to the man that had his father's wife. They don't punish you, eat with him. Man, you should touch his brain.
That is just it. This is a good person, man. This is happy.
Amen. Glory to God.
So Paul will employ diplomacy as he deals with the church at Corinth.
Hallelujah.
We'll look at all these things on Saturday. I forget to talk about the... Hopefully, if we don't get to Colossians 1 on Saturday, we'll get there. But we're having two sessions on Saturday. We'll get there on Monday. Amen. And then, we should get to chapter 3 or chapter 2 by Tuesday.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Then maybe on Saturday or per week or one other day, we will need to complete it. Almost complete it this month.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, Paul will employ the diplomacy to talk to them. And it's very nice.
Pastor, why is that you are soft on people in the church, and you know, they're just giving us like this, bang bang. This because you know, there's a way I talk to leaders in leaders meeting. They say, ah, I get this big head, saw me laughing. She was surprised that I was laughing. The first day, I don't know. She has been in church for God knows how long, but she was surprised. I'm
going
to say,
everyone
will hear
it.
But I say, Pastor, do you laugh?
All the while I've been saying it, she's the one.
Say, Pastor, do you laugh? I was shocked that she was asking. I said, Pastor, I've never seen you laugh before. I was laughing with, I guess we're cracking a joke in your place. Then she came out. Right. She was shocked. I said, Pastor, I don't know you used to laugh.
The bomb inside open.
Amen. Amen. Just like that. Glory to God. So, in Colossae, Paul will face this. Hallelujah. And that will give you a major theme in Colossae that we'll look at. Will be, the major theme in Colossae will be Paul's teaching of the supremacy of Christ above every other knowledge. You know, there are different diverse knowledge. But he will major it on the supremacy of Christ above every other knowledge. Hallelujah. I close like this. In what kind of Christianity? In what kind of Christianity is mistrust? Mistrust. When you mix different belief systems, try to make scripture suit into every belief system. This is worse. And Paul will have to deal with that in Colossae. So on Saturday, as we get into this study tomorrow, I trust that our eyes will be open and we'll be able to sit with the book of Colossae. Something I'm going to do with Colossae. Is that we're going to sit with also as we read the book of Colossians with our world today. We have to see Colossians in our world today. See Colossians in the Gen Z world.
and then, as Paul navigated for them through the scriptures, we will also navigate Paul's writings from the scriptures to see how we ought to conduct and carry ourselves in an ever-changing world that we live in, with different belief systems growing every day in different areas. Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord.